Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive. If you missed any part of today's show, we had Steve Tasker on, who was in the Bills Hall of Fame. We had Warren Moon on the show, who was in the actual Hall of Fame. And we had Nick Wright, who is just on television. If you missed any of that, be sure to go on the podcast page, 610sports.com, radio.com. You're listening to 610 Sports Radio, the official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs. Coming up in 15 minutes, Sean Barber will join us in studio. I'm sure he will call me or Sean Stat Boy. I'm not sure who Stat Boy will be today. Hits Boy is Rob Brenton. Let's get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City.
Okay, now, from the beginning.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
Check it out.
The top stories of the day, every day at 5 o'clock. The Hits.
Cue it up.
One.
Let's go. Hits Boy, that's the worst nickname in the sports machine, Rob. That's terrible.
I wanted to make hit one about how Colin Sexton's the best player in the NBA.
But who?
We won't. We'll do about the Chiefs because Sunday, Patrick Mahomes will have an opportunity to do something that the great Tom Brady was great at. He will go out and have a chance to win a playoff game against someone that we consider a contemporary of his. C-Dot, do you think Mahomes will start to beat up on his peers the way we saw Brady did in the playoffs?
I think this is part of being the greatest quarterback of all time, where if at the end of his career, Mahomes wants us to look at him as the GOAT, which I imagine that he does, and I think that's part of what drives him to be the best player in the NFL, it starts with, A, having the personal accolades, winning MVP, the team accolades of going to the Super Bowl. It also starts with when you have those individual matchups against quarterbacks who people deem to be your contemporaries, it comes down to elevating your play. Brady and Manning, we talked a lot about that back and forth. That was the rivalry of our generation. The Patriots won the first six matchups between those two teams. Brady in the playoffs was 2-0 against the Steelers, 3-0 against Phillip Rivers. He won a playoff game last week against Drew Brees. Brady, whenever the New England Patriots went up against one of those other elite quarterbacks in the league, he always elevated his play. His teams always found a way to win. Mahomes has done that against Lamar Jackson. He has done that against Deshaun Watson. This is his first time and opportunity to do so against Josh Allen in a playoff setting. Let's see how Mahomes comes out and plays this Sunday and if he can dominate a guy who people are starting to put in the same conversation as him.
I don't know if he belongs in the same conversation, but he belongs at the front of the line. Mainly because Mahomes has already sent C-Dot all the other guys to the back of the line. Lamar's gotten his chance three separate times. Pat beat him every time. Deshaun's gotten his chance four separate times. Pat's gotten three of those, including once in the postseason. Now it's Josh Allen's turn. So if Josh Allen can go out there and win this game, then we can start to have the conversation that he is by far, hands down, end of story, the second best young quarterback in the league. But if he loses this game, then he just goes and retreats to the back of the line just like all those other guys do. So I will say from the Bills' perspective and Josh Allen, this is the ultimate stage and the ultimate opportunity. You want to earn respect? Go on the road in the AFC Championship game and knock out Patrick Mahomes.
Two.
Earlier today, Bill's Corner, Josh Norman was on the Rich Eisen show, and he said this about how they're going to defend Tyreek Hill.
You're traveling with Tyreek Hill this week, right? Is that what he told you? You're traveling with the Cheetah? Josh?
Yeah. At the end of the day, I'm going to talk about us. Not really too much concerned about what they do and talk about them because everybody's going to, pump them up. We ready. We are ready, and we looking forward to it.
Sean, if that specific matchup happens, it would be a massive advantage for the Kansas City Chiefs. Other than that, if that happened, what other advantages does Kansas City have over Buffalo as they head into this game?
Well, the biggest advantage that they have is Travis Kelce. Look at Travis Kelce's numbers historically against the Bills. Look at Travis Kelce's numbers in the playoffs. And if they're going to try to put Josh Norman on Tyreek Hill, that leaves – I assume that Tre'Davious White at that point would shadow Travis Kelce. Whoever Josh Norman is on, Rob, what I'm trying to tell you is that guy's going to have a big game. So I don't know if what we just heard is going to be actual plan. Sounds like a bad plan to me. I didn't know Josh Norman was still in the league. Josh Norman's got to be 32, 33 years old at this point. I don't think that he can go yard for yard with a streaking Tyreek Hill. So that sounds like a recipe for Tyreek Hill have another one of those 200-yard, 200-touchdown, two-touchdown type games. Travis Kelce, though, is the one who I think is going to go off. We've seen him in the playoffs last year. Remember against the Texans? There was a quarter in that game where he had 8 catches for 83 yards and 3 touchdowns. I'm not going to say Trav's going to do that, but he's going to have a huge game. I think that's actually the biggest advantage the Chiefs have.
I think Kansas City is just more talented than Buffalo. Like, I maybe disagree a little bit with sort of how you've painted Buffalo in a inferior sense. Like, they're not good enough.
They're the JV team. Nothing wrong with JV. You're just not varsity.
But I just think that Kansas City is just a slightly better version. I think they're slightly better at quarterback. I think their coach is slightly better. I think their offensive weapons are a little bit better. I think their defense is better. I think they're a better running team. I don't think that Buffalo is really or truly elite at anything. I think Kansas City is. I think Kansas City has an elite passing game. I think they have an elite coach. I think there are some things that Kansas City does at a high level and better than every other team in the NFL. I just don't feel that way about Buffalo. I feel Buffalo is a really good, I don't think they're a great team where I do feel that way about Kansas City. So the advantages for Kansas City, I think, are across the board. I don't really think that Buffalo has those same advantages, but I do think Buffalo, more so than a lot of other teams in the league, where if Kansas City doesn't come out and play a B-plus game or better, they can get sniped by the Buffalo Bills.
Well, C-Dot, you have been a notable person all season long who is not a firm believer that this version of Josh Allen is, in fact, the real Josh Allen. You've been steadfast. You'd like to see it again next season. But would a win Sunday in Kansas City over Patrick Mahomes elevate Josh Allen into tier one of quarterbacks for you?
I don't want to do that. I don't think that Bill Self is any better or a worse coach because Mario Chalmers made the three. I don't think that Josh Allen is a better or worse quarterback if he's able to go on the road in the AFC Championship game and win. I think being on tier one just comes from years of consistency and years of dominance. And Mahomes was able to fast track that because Mahomes has had the greatest three-season stretch of any quarterback in the history of the NFL. What Mahomes has done so far in his career, you can put up against any stretch. And I'm not even just talking quarterbacks his age. I'm saying is take Mahomes' first 3 years against age 32, 33, and 34 Tom Brady. I think you'll find that the numbers are pretty comparable. So I think Mahomes was able to skip the line by just being better than everybody else. I think Russell Wilson has proven that because he's been a top five quarterback in the NFL, arguably the second best quarterback in the league now to me for 5 consecutive seasons. Aaron Rodgers has done it now for a decade plus. Even if you want to put Brady in that category, I disagree a little bit, but it's hard to argue with the results of what we've seen so far this season. Josh Allen's just got to do it more. And that can only happen with more time, more games, more information, more data. What does Josh Allen look like next year? Jared Goff was in this same conversation. We now see how that played itself out. Carson Wentz was in this same conversation. I don't want to put Josh Allen there from one really fantastic season. To me, you got to do it for multiple to enter the conversation of placing you in tier one.
You could kind of add Lamar Jackson to what you're talking about, too. Not that he was terrible this year. His team was bad. But compared to what they were a year ago, his numbers were down. The team won fewer games. So you're right. It happens. Guys taper off. I don't think that's going to happen to Josh Allen. I think that if he was a stock, I wouldn't have my money invested in him. He's definitely a quarterback that's on the rise. You're right. We've seen it happen. Carson Wentz took a step back. As you mentioned, Jared Goff took a step back. I don't know why. I don't have any great reasons. You're right. I'd like to see more years, but I'm sold that he really is on that second tier. If I was going to name you my tiers, I'd put Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers at the top by themselves. And then there's a couple of guys. Then there's like Josh Allen. That's probably where Tom Brady, as you mentioned, belongs. Russell Wilson. And there's the next guys. And I don't know if that next group of guys can ever win you a Super Bowl. That's the Deshaun Watsons, the Lamar Jacksons, those type of cats. But I certainly think that what I said earlier is true. The four quarterbacks left in this postseason are going to finish top four in MVP voting because they were the four best quarterbacks this year.
Coming up in just a little bit, we'll be joined in studio by Sean Barber. Sean Barber will be in studio coming up at 5:15. I want to play two cuts for you guys. We'll react to them before Barber steps in. This was Josh Allen earlier today talking about what he sees from the Kansas City Chiefs and sort of the pressure that the Chiefs offense places on you.
Well, the pressure is to win the game, you got to score more than them. That's exactly what it is. And they do such a good job of moving the ball and scoring, and it could be two plays over the top, or it could be a 15-play drive where, you know, Patrick's just finding his outlets, and they're using their RPOs. And you know, I've watched enough games of them this year, just as a spectator at home on the couch while they're playing on Monday night or Sunday night, whatever the case is. And they play really good football. It's a team that seems like they really care about each other too, and they've, like I said, they've been in this situation before, so. Their sights are the same as ours, and one team's going to win, one team's going to go home. So, we got to do everything in our power to make sure that we're the team surviving.
So that was Josh Allen as he met with the media earlier today. I know it seems very simplistic and very obvious where he says, well, you have to score more points than Kansas City. I think one disagreement that we had last week when it came to Cleveland and maybe their path to winning was, I don't think that your path led to outscoring the Kansas City Chiefs. I think it's a very small margin of error. If you think that you're going to play keep away and ball control and keep Mahomes on the sideline and hold the ball for 37 seconds and your team's not going to turn the football over, but you're going to turn Mahomes over or cause these three and outs. And I just think you're asking a lot of things to go right all at one time. And that's not really how the NFL works, especially against a team as talented as Kansas City, where I think Buffalo has the right mindset. Now, I don't ultimately think it's going to work, but that's the mindset that you need to have when you're going up against Kansas City. We got to score, and we got to score a lot. I'm not talking like 24 a lot. I'm thinking 34 a lot.
That's
I'm
not really fair, though. I mean, because both teams, you're talking about, I mean, Cleveland, you're right. But Cleveland's strength was running the football. Buffalo's strength is throwing the football. So all both teams, in my opinion, should have done, best path to beating the Chiefs, don't do what the other team does best. Do what you do best. I can't believe Cleveland went away from the run.
But I'm thinking of it of, I don't really, I guess, in that sense, it's going to sound funny. I don't care what you do well, because what they do well doesn't really match up. Where I say it's different with Buffalo, because they can score. Like, Buffalo is an offense that we think is capable of scoring 30.
They scored more points this year than the Chiefs did. They can absolutely score.
Where if you don't score 30 points, I don't care what the equation is to get to 30. If you don't think you can score 30 and you're not doing everything in your power to get to 30, you have no chance of winning the game. Like a 0% chance of winning the football game.
Are we sure they're going to do that? I mean, you just brought it up to me, and I actually didn't realize it, that one of the scores that they had last week, one of the touchdowns,
I don't think they're going to score 30 against Kansas City. I don't think they're going to win the game.
They scored 10 last time out, and the Chiefs' defense, I thought, was the reason why they won the game. Is it crazy to throw out a scenario where Buffalo doesn't put up a lot of points because, one, they didn't the first time they played the Chiefs, they didn't last week, and the Chiefs' defense is playing well. Is it crazy to think that Buffalo goes out there and puts up 17?
That's what I expect to happen. I don't think that Buffalo's offense is really one that gives Kansas City a lot of problems because they're so one-dimensional. Now, if Buffalo's going to find a way to be more balanced and run the football, I have a differing opinion, but they haven't really shown me a commitment to running the football. They haven't really shown me that they can run the football well. If the plan is with Josh Allen, and I'm not saying regardless of Mahomes, if their plan is Josh Allen throw the ball 40 or 45 times, he will throw at least two interceptions against this defense. Tyrann Mathieu will find a way to bait him into throwing an interception.
Probably fumble it too. That means he's dropping back a lot.
Daniel Sorensen will find a way to magically make another play, and we'll spend all Monday playing these greatest hits of Daniel Sorensen. If that's the game plan from Buffalo, which I think based on how we've seen them play, I do think that's going to be their game plan. I think their game plan is going to be, it's going to be Mahomes on one corner with a six shooter and Josh Allen on the other side with a six shooter. I don't care how many toes Patrick Mahomes has in this game. He just got more bullets than you got. He's just better than you are in this scenario where if Buffalo's going to show the lack of commitment to running the football that they showed last week, they ran the ball 16 times for 32 yards. That's not how you beat Kansas City. And I think Kansas City's defense is better than Buffalo's defense. I think Kansas City's defense can slow down Buffalo. I don't think they're going to shut them down, but I can very easily see a scenario in which Buffalo scores 24 or fewer points in this game. If it plays out that way, which I'm going to predict tomorrow when we do our final predictions, you love to say, I think Kansas City is going to win this game. I think it's going to be a game that's very similar where late it's 5 minutes to go, 6 minutes to go. Kansas City has a 7-point lead. Kansas City puts a drive together to make it double digits. Maybe Buffalo scores up some points at the end that just don't really matter in the grand scheme of things, and Kansas City wins that game. But I don't trust Buffalo's offense enough to win in a shootout against Kansas City. The only team I would really trust to do that is Green Bay. The only team that's remaining in this that I think can score 35 or more and can get enough stops to potentially stop Kansas City would be Green Bay. Well, I don't feel that way about Tampa Bay and Tom Brady. I don't feel that way about Josh Allen and Buffalo
well,
either.
Green Bay, Tampa Bay, and Buffalo, for the record, all scored more regular season points than Kansas City. For what it's worth, they were all in the top five, so we're kind of splitting hairs there. I think that Josh Allen is the type of quarterback where I agree with what you said. If he goes out there, he's got to throw the ball 40 or 45 times. He's probably going to turn it over a couple of times. And to me, that's going to end up being the key to this football game, because we know as long as Patrick Mahomes is on that field, when the stage is huge, he plays his best. We've seen him play on a bigger stage than this. Last year, it was called the Super Bowl. We've seen him play on this exact stage a couple of times, called the AFC Championship game at Arrowhead. And we've never seen Josh Allen play in this particular round. So I don't know if there's anything to it, but experience at some point at all of our jobs, and certainly on the football field, matters. Patrick Mahomes has been there, done that. This is his third straight AFC Championship game. Is the moment going to be too big for Josh Allen? I don't know. I hope the answer is yes. We're going to find out.
So coming up in a little bit, we will play the latest from Ian Rappaport regarding Patrick Mahomes, who, according to Ian Rappaport, is trending in the right direction. I do expect that Patrick Mahomes is going to come off the concussion protocol and will start Sunday for the Kansas City Chiefs against the Buffalo Bills. But let's not head to the phone lines. Let's head directly in front of us. Sean Barber in studio right now. You are completely decked out in your Chiefs gear. You got a Chiefs Scully. You got a Chiefs hoodies on. You got Chiefs shoes, Chiefs pants. This is a Red Thursday for you.
Red Thursday, baby. I bring the fire. You know what I'm saying? That's what I got to do every day.
There's a rumor, Barber, that you also have an Arrowhead tattoo on your left ass cheek that nobody really – is that true?
No, man,
that's not true.
False.
I made
that's
that
false
up.
To, yeah, you make
okay,
it
my bad.
You make a lot of stuff up.
I really do.
Man, I listen to this radio station way too much to hear you go on some of these takes. Your take – let me start
with this one.
This is the one that burns me. When you tell me Lamar Jackson, anything negative about that young man playing the game of football – It singes me. It burns me.
It's
up
not anti Lamar. It's Patrick Mahomes. It's pro Joe Burrow.
Mm-mm.
Pro Trevor Lawrence. Pro Deshaun Watson. Mm-mm. They can't all get to a Super Bowl, Barber. I'm sorry. He's the odd man out.
That's the one you said. You said this in his career. You
that's
don't think
the
he won't win a Super Bowl.
I don't think he'll get to a Super Bowl. What do you think about that?
Exactly.
<There you go. laughs> Right now, we're joined in studio by Sean Barber. Sean Barber joins us in studio. What do you make of how Buffalo's played their first two games in the postseason?
I
actually think they played okay against the Colts. I don't think they were great by any means. I thought they left a lot to be desired against the Baltimore Ravens. Like, I think that last year's Titans team beats the way Buffalo played last week against the Ravens. I thought Buffalo was incredibly average on Saturday.
If you tell me Buffalo is coming into Kansas City and going to play like they did in either of the past two weekends, then the Kansas City Chiefs is going to win that game by 17 points. Neither one of those performances I feel like were good enough to even stay in the game beyond halftime against the Chiefs. And I know everybody says I got the rose-colored Andy Reid's type glasses. I'm just going to call it what it is. What it is to me, the Buffalo Bills have hit a wall. They've been playing some really good ball since, I think, their bye week was week 11. That's about nine games straight of high intensity football. The only chance they had was in week 17. They had an opportunity to rest their starters, but instead they wanted to go out and play ruck shot and whip up on the Dolphins by 30 points, scoring 50 some points, instead of taking the proper rest needed to go out and into the postseason. That was a calculated risk that's going to come back and bite him in the butt, because I just don't at this level of play, the amount of mental focus it takes, the amount of pounding your body takes in the NFL, to go out and continuously from week 11 on with no bye week, and now you're facing a team that played, I think we had a bye week week 10. We played six games and then took 2 weeks off, and now we played one game, and now we're going to face a team that's played almost nine games straight. it clearly advantaged Kansas City.
How much of it do you think is what you're talking about? And I'm not disagreeing with you. I think it's a really good point. Versus, it's hard to think that you can keep winning games at this high of a level if you can't run the football. And Buffalo just can't run the ball. Like, the first playoff game against the Colts, if you take away Josh Allen yards, I know you can't do it. Singletary ran for 3 carries for 21 yards in the game. Last week, could not run the football at all, didn't even try to run the football. Once you get to this level, I'm not saying you got to run it super effectively. You don't got to be Tennessee or Baltimore, but there has to be some symbol of balance. You have to be able to run the ball. And Buffalo can't run the football at all. How much of their struggles in hitting that wall do you think is that?
I mean, play calling is play calling. Everybody has their own, you know, in their mind what actually moves the ball down the field the most efficiently. Everybody has to do what, you know, you play to your strengths. They're not a strong rushing team because, obviously, especially with Moss not being there no more, with just Singletary, that's not his – I mean, I don't think he's a ball carrier. You can give 25 carries to a game and expect him to have 150 yards. That's just not his take. And when you have a quarterback that has the capability to sling it all over the field, sling it downfield, and, I mean, you want to give that guy as many opportunities to make the defense pay as possible – then I think they definitely call plays toward their strength, which is the passing game. And I don't think you need to run. I think it would be it's easier to play the game of football when the defense doesn't know if you're going to run a pass or has a little bit of doubt. The play action actually does work when you actually do run the ball a little bit. That does add a little bit of a it makes those linebackers and safeties suck up a little bit so you can get some shots down the field. But no, I don't think you need to do it. But you just have to be so accurate and so precise. Every drive with the passing game, it's something I wouldn't – if I was offense coordinator, I wouldn't look forward to doing.
Barb, we'll keep talking about this game. Let me take the train off the tracks here for just a quick second. I think that everybody in this room thought this was the offseason where Eric Bieniemy was going to get a job. Now that we're here and Houston's the only job left, how surprised are you that – I don't want to say that he's passed up because, again, that Texans job's still out there, but that everybody else has passed him up so far this cycle.
Man, listen, I'm 46 years old. I've been – as far as I know, I've been a brother living in America all my life. There's so many times that where I felt like I deserved a chance or my skills or my from an education standpoint or my opportunity. I've been knocking on the door. I think it's my turn. It feels like it's right, only to be told that, you know, we're going to go a different direction or we chose somebody else. And to look at the other people that are being chosen to lead teams, it is a reason why winning organizations are winning organizations. They have a affinity. They have a process that they choose. They choose leaders. They choose relationships. They choose trustworthy individuals. They choose men that can lead men. Men that have respect, responsibility. They choose all of those things beyond. Can you call a series of plays? Can you whatever else you think a trait of a coach need to be? There's a lot of young guys getting a lot of opportunities that ain't proved nothing in this league yet. And to think that these guys that really ain't proved nothing is going to somehow retool an organization like Detroit or any of these teams that are trying to like turn the page to a new level. The first mistake that those organizations made is that they're not looking in the right direction if they're not looking towards bringing in guys that just have great leadership abilities. That's what a head coach needs. It's not about calling plays. It's not about being an offensive, defensive-minded guy. The number one trait I think that a head coach needs is he has to be somebody that has character, accountability, respect. He has to, you know, have a vision for the entire organization. And I just don't see how a guy who's 33, 38, even 40 years old actually has created a vision that you think an entire team of men can get behind. It just doesn't this type of hiring and firing that's going around the league. This doesn't sit well with me. And there's going to always be a young guy that's successful, one or two every once in a while.
Yeah.
But the hit and miss rate on just the new hot trend is going to be so low over the rest of the league. It's not going to be surprising that, you know, 5-6 years from now, we're going to be looking at the same teams trying to turn it over again. Just keep turning it over again until they can, hire somebody with some character, hire somebody with some leadership skills.
Barbershop, you brought up your own experiences, so I got to ask you, if you were Eric Bieniemy, would you keep fighting the same fight? Like, for the last 3 years, half the league's interviewed you, and then you've had to go back and say, I didn't get the job. Would you maybe take an alternative route at this point?
Oh, a wise man, and it's my dad, told me, you don't let nobody else determine your worth. And that's the first and foremost thing. You don't let other people, the opportunities come and go. You want to hire me, I'm going to be who I'm going to be. I'm going to stick to who I am. I'm going to be truthful about who I am, what I stand for. And if that's not good enough for your organization, then I'm glad you didn't hire me, if you're asking me. I'm putting out hey, for my services, this is what it takes per year. This is the guaranteed contract. This is the amount of years I need. It's really weird in the league because, a few years ago, Gruden kind of set the template, right?
Yeah.
If you really want somebody to come in and give them a chance to change your organization, it takes a 10-year contract, because anything other than that, a 6-year deal that you're going to get out of after three, you're not really giving a coach a chance to really change the environment, to change the atmosphere before that. If he don't win 8, 9, 10 games, you're going to be ready to, ship him out. And that situation ain't right, man. So if you really believe in a coach, man, give a man 10 years, give a man a decade to change your team, lead it the right way. If you really don't have that type of faith in him, then you ain't hiring the right guy anyway. And so that's what I believe about Coach Bieniemy, man. If I was him, I'd sit back and push out a 10-year deal everywhere I go. I just keep putting out a 10-year deal. And if you really want my services to change this organization, I got faith in him. I know he can lead men. And so what these other teams are looking for, are they not seeing? I mean, that's too bad for them.
Right now, we're joined in studio by former NFL linebacker Sean Barber. Coming up next, we'll hear the latest from Ian Rappaport on Patrick Mahomes, and we'll ask Barber, what is it like to play with and have turf toe, the injury that Patrick Mahomes is dealing with? That's next. Stick around. It's The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, the official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs. Back in on The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com. The official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs. Ian Rappaport went on television about 20 minutes ago to give us the latest on one Patrick Mahomes.
Things are moving in the right direction for the Kansas City Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes. And the reason we know that is because he practiced today. Yes, he practiced on a limited basis, just like yesterday. But being out on the field, taking most of the snaps, if not all of the snaps, is a good sign that, one, he did not have a setback yesterday after practicing. That is good. And two, that he is progressing in the normal, productive way in the NFL's concussion protocol. The hope, of course, tomorrow is that he practices fully. If he is a full participant in practice tomorrow, that means he is likely on his way to being cleared before Sunday. If he's not able to practice fully tomorrow, then perhaps Mahomes might not be ready in time. Remember, this is not something that's decided by the team or by the player or even by their doctors. An independent neurologist makes the final call on Patrick Mahomes actually playing on Sunday. But again, this is one that is headed in the right direction.
So that is the latest from Ian Rappaport of NFL Network. Barber, I imagine, I don't want to put words in your mouth, I imagine you think Mahomes is going to play on Sunday. It sounds every bit of information is trending in the right direction. I expect him to pass the concussion protocol and play on Sunday. Do you think Mahomes is going to play?
I'm gonna say what I heard you say, the tea leaves. If I'm reading the tea leaves right, then I would say there's a good chance that Pat Mahomes is going to suit up and be the starting quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs on Sunday.
What did you make of the hit? Because I've heard some people say Mahomes shouldn't run in that scenario. Some people question the hit, call it dirty. As a defensive player in the NFL, what'd you think of the hit?
I thought it was a clean hit. I thought the play was a good play call. I don't get the whole like not calling things because you worry about, like, man, it's the NFL, it's a play. You play hard and people get hurt, people get injured. I'm not calculating risk reward in the middle of a ball game. I'm trying to get another first down. And then if I get inside the 10-yard line, I'm trying to get a touchdown. Simple as that. Like it's very, I'm very like cut and dry. Like it's, everything is just, yes, I'm trying to create a tomorrow. That's what playoff football is about. I'm doing whatever I need to do to create tomorrow.
So a lot has been made about the head injury, certainly understanding with him in the concussion protocol, but he's also dealing with the foot injury as well. Have you ever had turf toe? What's your experiences with it? Maybe a teammate that had it? Because it seems to me like, regardless of what percentage he's going to be from a head standpoint, mm-hmm. I think he's going to be fine from that. There's still going to be some lingering effects of what he's dealing with his foot.
Man, I played over how many decades ago? 2007 was my last year, so that's over a decade ago. And even back then, they had some really good things to take away all the pain. The numb, they can numb you from the waist down, the hip down. They can numb your whole foot if they need to. I would really hesitate to think that with as much of investment as the Kansas City Chiefs has made in this young man, over $500 million for him to be the leader of this team for the next decade, that any chances is going to be taken with him on anything as far as injury-wise. I think that, you know, if he can, you know, heal the foot up and get it back to about 80% where, you know, he can, you know, manage with it, do some pain management stuff as far as therapy. They got so many different ways of treating things now. Like I said, I'm back in the Fred Flintstone. I'm an old dinosaur as far as shooting something up and putting cortisone in it every time something just aches you. That was the remedy back then. Nowadays, they got so many ways of manipulating muscle and bone and tissue and oxygen tanks and all these different remedies that can really help your body recover quicker than ever. With that said, I would take my time with any of his injuries and just make sure the man is as close to 100% as possible, put him out on the field, and let's go play some ball.
Barbershop, were you in the league in 2007 or 1907? Because you said 07. I'm a little confused there. Which one was it? I know you've been in the league for a while now. Is there anything that the Buffalo Bills do that ultimately concerns you? Because I've been talking up Josh Allen a lot. I think the combination of Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs is pretty much as good as any in the league.
Man, Allen, Diggs, and then the Knox kid is pretty good, the tight end. Besides those three things, man, I see what people see. I see a team that ended up very hot weeks 10 through 15. I see a team that put up 40, 30, 40, 56 points.
Yeah.
But then I look at who they played against in those same games, and I look at, like, the projection of those teams. Like, when they put up all those points on the Steelers had pretty much lost the three defensive impact players that allowed them to be 11-0. And that same, you know, Steelers team ended up losing 5 out of 6 games. When I look at what they did to the Dolphins, I mean, the Dolphins has a good defense, but offensively they struggle with everybody. So that was a one-sided, you know, type ball team. And then beyond that, man, I mean, you know, I'm supposed to give them credit for putting up points against the Jets, the Browns, the Patriots, or whoever. I mean, again, when the NFL starts giving us extra credit for beating a team by 10 points, I guarantee the Chiefs will start beating people by 10 or more points.
Yeah.
If you can put an asterisk or some kind of bonus point, then we get to the end of the season. If we tied at 14-2, but you've beaten multiple teams by double digits and I haven't, well, then you get the nod. Then I think that our games will end up being a completely different ball game. But as long as in the NFL a win is a win, and you just keep stacking them up, and at the end of the year, it's a win-loss, it's W's and L's, and that determines where you go, where you get seated, then the whole rationale about how much you beat a team by or a close – I mean, I'm almost sick and tired of hearing about all these close victories. And for the last night, since the Panthers game, the Chiefs ain't blown anybody out. They've been playing everybody close. It's been a one-point – man, look at those ball games. You look at those ball games and tell me at what point did the other team – have any type of control of the flow of those games, or did you think that other team was going to actually win? Don't tell me about the ending score, because I can be up by 17 points all through an entire ball game and then give up two scores, give up a touchdown and a field goal, and now I win by 7, and according to everybody else, that's a close ball game.
Barbara, work yourself up into a good lather here, because I want to get you excited. Because remember, how long ago was it? See, that we had that little conversation with Barbara in studio about our guy Frank Clark. What was that about?
Yeah, you were calling a stat boy. And
yeah, you called stat boy.
Counting his pockets.
You was the money machine.
Yeah, you called
that's
me the ATM machine.
The ATM machine.
Maybe you can find the cut. I remember it was about a couple of months ago.
Stop counting that man's money.
And so you were saying, don't count his money because some guys show up when it matters. I don't know about you, Barbara. You played in the league. I played 8th grade B team Harmony Middle School. I would say the playoffs is when it matters. So does that mean now we can count on Frank Clark to show up on Sunday?
Oh, I counted him. I thought he showed up last Sunday. I saw the man running around. He was ball battered in the air. Baker Mayfield tried to run for it first. My man scooted out there and got on it. Hey, man, listen. I did the stats. Don't talk to me about no stats. If whenever anybody wants to sit around and watch film, And let's watch the man's get off. Let's watch his pursuit. Let's watch his if there's a doubt that Frank Clark is doing something, let's get on film and show it to me. Show me a play he could have made he didn't. But besides that, our D line is working together. Those guys they playing off one another. Mike Dan is playing outstanding. Tershawn is showing up. We got rookies people don't even know about. They got the Darius, the highest rated, whatever, PFF score and all that as far as coverage scores. And then we got our three-headed safeties, Dan the Man, Honey Badger, and Juan, the one and only. I mean, we got playmakers all over the field on defense. We're going to see what's going to happen on Sunday. Y'all doubt. You just wait until this Sunday open up.
Okay.
And we make that strive, that dash, that mad dash to the Super Bowl.
All right.
Why are you putting the cape on before it needs to be put on? That sounds
Mahomes
like me.
Always has the cape on.
Well, that's Mahomes. That's the quarterback.
Tyreek always has the cape on. Kelsey always has the cape on. Kelsey's now like, hey, you know what? Weeks 1 through 15, I'm going to just kind of chill here. I'm going to have 700 yards receiving. And then playoff time, it's time for me to show him the best tight end in the NFL. He's just always the best tight end in the NFL.
You know what Sammy Watkins does? He waits to put his cape on until the playoff time. Maybe some guys do that.
Thank you. You know what I'm saying? Sean realized
I'm
what
not
this
on
is.
Your side.
Sometimes you got to realize in this era of football, maybe the regular season isn't the time for your playmakers to go out there and make plays. Maybe this is time for guys to stay healthy, continue to win ball games. Yes, you would love a bye, but you know the way the schedule. Maybe you know, you can play lights out and still not get a bye.
That was you a couple of weeks ago on this show.
It matters now, right? See, that's the postseason.
I love exactly what because I still stand by. I think.
Do you think Sammy Watkins is needed in this game?
Does he have a cape he can put on?
I'm not even saying it negative. I'm just wondering, in this game, do you think they need Sammy Watkins?
I need everybody who's capable, who's healthy, to suit up and let's go. There is no tomorrow. There's no reason for guys not to play. There's no reason for anybody not to be ready to go in this game. If you can give me a good quarter, give me a good quarter. Get us out to a good start. If you ain't got but one quarter and you a finisher, then just wait until the fourth quarter, sit on the sideline, and come in and give me a closeout, a fourth quarter, and make some plays. Whatever you got for this organization, for this team, for us to make it that next step, whatever it takes to make it that next step, that's the only thing I'm worried about right now.
Last question here, Barbara, and we appreciate your time. It's about the running game.
Ooh.
So we're not sure with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I do think he's going to play, but we'll see his availability. Darrell Williams, I thought, ran the ball super effectively against the Browns. What do you make of how they treated Le'Veon Bell? And in the first matchup, Kansas City dominated the line of scrimmage, had 46 carries. We obviously don't think they're going to run the ball that much or that effectively, but do you think Kansas City's offensive line can dominate Buffalo's again?
When you talk about dominate, I mean, I think that first ball game, Buffalo's missing a few guys. We had, you know, a different lineup in there. And they played a very, I don't want to say weird, but it was when you talk about bend don't break, usually you're not talking about the actual D line too. You're talking about just the secondary, the linebackers, the coverage standpoint. But the guys up front in the trenches usually still come off. They still fire out. It seemed like to me when I watched that first game that everybody on the entire Bills defense was in a catch and react type mode. The D line wasn't even really. It didn't seem like they were firing off. Everybody was in a catch and look. Everybody was catching and trying to find out what Mahomes was. Keep him in the pocket. Let's make sure to flush him out to a certain way and all these other things. They were trying so hard to defend against the pass game that before they knew it, I don't recall the exact yardage, but over 200 yards of rushing happening, and that ball game was over before, pretty much by halftime. So I think they're going to have to look at that. Look at that film and be honest with themselves and say, we can't, if you're the Bills team, you can't play that same defense, that same mentality, that bend don't break, catch them, let's keep them in front of us, let's just wait until we get to the 10-yard line, the bow our back type defense. I think you're going to have to find a way to get aggressive, and that's not really in their nature. And so they're going to have to try some things to get Pat off, because if you like to, man, this offense, yeah, we took 2 weeks off, and everybody said, everybody I heard talked about, dude, the Chiefs need to worry about being rusty. When you take off week 17 and you get the bye week, it's a rust factor. Did you look at the first drive?
They came out, and I mean, I thought that was one of the better drives of the season.
Have you ever seen a team after 2 weeks off look that fluid?
No, Patrick Mahomes threw the ball over the back of the stadium. He was so excited.
but that's the type of offense when things are being run with timing and accuracy. And Pat, like I said, it's a vision thing. When he is seeing the same thing that Coach Bieniemy is seeing, and the play calls right when they're coming, like Bieniemy gets halfway through the call, and Pat like, oh, I got it, Let me finish the. I can finish the call for you. I know exactly. We thinking the same thing. I saw the same thing you saw. They're doing this defense. The safeties are hanging here, or they're rolling here, or they're not capturing the edge, so we can jet sweep them to death. Like all the ways that our offense is when it's oiled the right way and is moving the right way, it's all about the way the vision. What Pat is seeing, if him and Bienemy are on the same page, and then Coach Reed's on the same page. There's not really anything that the Buffalo Bills can do besides hold on and wait for the ebbs and flow, wait for the low tide, and hope that at the end of all that, when the dust clears, that they're within 10 points to try to make it a ball game in the fourth quarter.
That is former NFL linebacker Sean Barber joining us in studio today. Stick around. He will be on coming up after us on the Players Only
player,
show.
Player.
Barber, happy to have you in studio, man. Thanks for coming
up. I'm glad to be back, brother.
Rob, before we signed off, let's take a journey inside the mind of the machine.
Dwayne Haskins got picked up earlier today by the Pittsburgh Steelers. Good fit for him?
Yeah, I think it was between Pittsburgh and Carolina, I saw. It makes a lot of sense. Go to a stable organization, really strong head coach. Makes sense to me.
Now that we've seen 3 years and three playoff runs, or at least parts of 3 years and three playoff runs from Patrick Mahomes, do you think this Bills team, the way they're playing right now, is the most difficult opponent that he's ever had to face?
Yeah, no, not even close. I think you really discredit last year's San Francisco team.
No,
I don't really know. I don't really know why.
This Bills team's better.
No, San Francisco's better than Buffalo was last year. I'd say San Francisco won. I'd put the Patriots team in 2018 as two. You might think I'm crazy. I actually think last year's Ravens team was better than this year's Buffalo Bills team.
Seattle was good. That team that beat them a couple of years ago on the road. And the Rams that put up the 50 spot that ended up in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, the Rams were better than this Bills team too. That 2018 Rams team was really good.
Do you agree with me that the four quarterbacks that are left are going to finish 1, 2, 3, 4 in the MVP voting this year?
I'm not going to lie to you. I haven't given any thought to who's going to finish fourth in the MVP voting. So maybe somebody like you will just feel bad for Tom Brady. So they gave him an MVP vote. So he gets like two votes this year.
What does that mean? Somebody like me.
If you spent an MVP vote this year on Tom Brady, you just wasted your time. He wasn't the NFL MVP.
He was definitely in the top five. So
it ain't like
him
the Heisman fourth. Where it's like a first, second, or third. It's just who do you think is MVP? So if somebody voted for him fourth for MVP, then you like, how did he get a vote? It doesn't even make sense.
Which Kansas City closer do you trust more at the end of a game, Wade Davis or Patrick Mahomes?
Is it fair that to me the answer is just both? Like,
yeah,
I trust them equally. Like, my confidence level in Mahomes at the end of the game, if it is 2 minutes and 15 seconds left, you got to go the length of the field, you got two timeouts. I feel very confident that the Chiefs are going to score in that scenario. The same way with Wade Davis. He's coming into a ball game. It's a runner on first at the eighth inning, they're going to figure out a way to get out of it. So my confidence level is the exact same.
The Bills got to four Super Bowls in the 1990s. We were joined by Steve Tasker earlier today. The Bills also lost all four said Super Bowls. Does that deserve a pat on the back or a kick in the ass?
Well, a pat on the back. You know me, like, making it to the championship game is a major accomplishment. Where now, to me, it's like, it's weird how it's better to lose in the AFC championship game than to lose in the Super Bowl. Like, that whole logic to me just never really made any sense.
This isn't a LeBron argument, though, because LeBron, yes, he's lost more than he's won when he's got to the finals, but at least he's won. Buffalo never won.
No, but, I mean, you cheer for the Chiefs. They didn't win a playoff game until you were 37. So, yes, like, what are we doing here? Like, you're telling me it's better to be Kansas City and never be in that position
That's
and lose
true.
All the time?
What you
like,
said is not true. When I was 13 years old, they beat the Houston Oilers with Warren Moon, who joined us earlier today.
So from 13 until 36, they never won a playoff game. But now we're looking. Now we're down in Buffalo for winning multiple playoff games
also,
in consecutive years.
Not true. No need to lie.
Just
Nick Lowry had a game-winning kick when I was 12 against the Pittsburgh Steelers in overtime.
I've never understood it.
I know it. Because I was there.
No, that was season, by the way. Oh. They beat the Steelers, then the Oilers.
Well, it was a nice run they had.
Then they lost.
To?
The Bills.
I remember.
Like, I mean, I'm not saying that it's, like, obviously winning the championship is better, but, I mean, there's only one team in the playoffs that did better than you. That's the team that won the Super Bowl for four consecutive years. It's not that bad.
Speaking of better, you know who's doing better this year than he's ever done. Joel Embiid, your favorite player. 42 points last night, averaging 27 points per game.
I just want to be fair here and point this out.
I know you don't like KU fans. You have no problem with KU players.
I'm not even saying that. I'm just saying is Let's say that Joel Embiid was the same player and he went to Missouri. You'd be like, well, what has he won? He's never done anything before. I mean, he's never even played for Eastern Conference Championship before. You know you would say this if he didn't go to KU.
Yeah, but players like Joel Embiid don't end up at MU.
They won one tournament game, and he's never had a chance to win an NBA championship.
Okay, now you've talked your smack for 30 seconds. I was going to ask you, is he the second best big man in the league behind Anthony Davis?
Yeah, I mean, Anthony Davis is
okay. That's all I wanted to
know. The second best player in the league, and Joel Embiid's like the 11th best player in the league.
On the real.
He had the second best night last night. Am I right, boys?
how come NBA teams repeat all the time? In our lifetime, the Warriors have repeated. The Lakers had a three-peat. The Bulls had two separate three-peats. The Rockets repeated. The Heat repeated. And it's only been the Broncos and the Patriots on the football field. Why does it happen all the time in the NBA but almost never in the NFL?
Salary cap, I would say, is the number one answer. The NBA just doesn't have a salary cap the same way that the NFL does. They have one, but it's a luxury tax. It's a long, complicated process. One player's value on basketball is a lot greater than one player's value in the NFL. Injuries, too. Like, injuries just change things. Like, if Patrick Mahomes is 75% in this game and can't go and they lose the football game, like, Kansas City was a Super Bowl winning team, just football happened.
Speaking of injuries, they
almost lost when their quarterback just went out in the middle of the game.
I remember. Lots of injuries happen in the octagon. See that you excited for Poirier McGregor 2 on Saturday night, huh?
I mean, excited is a strong term. Will I watch? Yes. Excited? No. I don't care who wins. Like, I don't care who wins.
Khabib has faced Gaethje, Poirier, and Conor McGregor in his last three fights.
When is Conor going to fight the dude that beat him and his family up? Like, that's
Khabib,
like,
he retired.
Who
never.
Else is he? Well, I mean.
Never. That's not going to happen.
I'm not fighting anybody until that gentleman. Can you imagine that dude? He beat me up. He didn't beat my homies up. And now he just don't want to fight me again? Like, no, that ain't make sense.
Players only coming up next.
Conor weak for that.
I don't want to be a player no more.
Back again tomorrow. Tomorrow at 2 o'clock, Boomer Esiason will be on the show to start the show. Also, John Murphy, the voice of the Buffalo Bills. John Clayton will be on the show. And we're hoping another Bills Hall of Famer comes on the show. Maybe Sean will help us out. It's The Drive.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.